Greetings, you are listening to Christian Radio WYYC, York, Pennsylvania, presenting the 15 minutes of the End Time Matrix, hosted by CephasMinistries.com, P.O. Box 35-1944, Westminster, Colorado 80035, phone is 303-452-1104. And your host is Rita Williams. I'm not going to go to the usual preliminaries here, but go on from the last week's article that says, You Don't Understand Roman Catholicism was written July 29, 2015. Charles Eliot, Delineation of Roman Catholicism in London, and he divided it up into three parts. Previously, we wrote part number one. And we're going to continue on in part number one. It is scripture that is given by divine inspiration, talking about the Bible, and the scripture is able to make the man of God perfect. The Catholic Church's traditions aren't holy scripture. Therefore, we don't need the Catholic Church's traditions. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, or for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Since the scripture is able to make the man of God perfect, it is obvious that the scripture is sufficient. Paul taught us that the scripture is the sole authority for faith and practice. The Roman Catholic Church claims that it gave us the Bible, but it is a strange thing that the Roman Catholic Church is not in the Bible. In the Bible, Peter was not the Pope. He was a married man with no throne, no crown, no palace, and no treasury. Mary is the mother of Jesus, but she is not called the mother of God or Queen of Heaven or co-redemptress, and no one prayed for her or to her. The Lord's Supper is symbolic of Christ's body and blood, and it's done in remembrance of Christ's death. This doctrine was taught by Paul by divine inspiration in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26. There is no special priesthood in the New Testament churches. Rather, all believers are priests, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. In the New Testament, there is no rosary, no veneration of relics, no pilgrimages to holy shrines, no incense, no candles, no robes, and no purgatory. When studying the Roman Catholicism, I have gone to the top, to the most authoritative voices. I have read Catholic apologists, but I don't need to have Rome's doctrines filtered to me by them. Letting a Catholic apologist explain Catholicism is akin to letting a political spin doctor explain the presidential speech, that I will hear it and understand it for myself. Thank you. Okay, now I'm coming to number two. I have an unction from God, and I can therefore judge and interpret doctrine. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. This verse instructs me that the Holy Spirit is my teacher. He will enable the child of God to understand and interpret doctrine, to discern truth from error. If someone tells me that I cannot understand doctrine for myself, he's calling God a liar. And now we come to three. If a Catholic can understand Baptist doctrine and reject it, I can understand Catholic doctrine and reject it. Those who claim that I cannot properly reject Roman Catholicism because they allege I don't understand it, in spite of the fact that I have studied its official writings, are the same ones who have rejected the Baptist doctrine and speak against it. Apparently, they are capable of understanding and rejecting the Baptist doctrine, but I am not to be given that same privilege in regard to Catholic doctrine. My sole authority in faith and practice is the Bible. This is the measuring rule that God has given me. The scripture is able to make the man of God perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. I will therefore use the scripture to test every doctrine, and I will reject doctrine that is contrary to the Bible. Having examined Roman Catholicism by this absolute standard, I have rejected it as gross error. As a God-called preacher, therefore, I must warn people of this false system. This is not hatred. This is not anger and bitterness. This is not jealousy. This is not ignorance. This is not sectarianism. This is obedience to the word of God, of Almighty God. The following important observations were made in 1851. We cannot allow that every private priest or member of the Church of Rome should give his own opinions merely as a standard of doctrine. We will have recourse to the oracular response of the Church and insist that they be represented by themselves, not, however, by private individuals, but by their legal representatives. But then there is nothing which they dread so much as the testimony of their own church. It is a principal aim of all Roman Catholic controverses to employ every mode of evasion in order to disconcert their opposers. There's even a marked difference between the tone of these Romish divines who speak dogmatically for the instruction of their own members and that of those who attempt to answer the objections of their antagonists. With the former, all is matter of downright certainty. With the latter, all is doubt and difficulty, subterfuge and evasion. When the faithful are to be instructed, every priest becomes the sure depository of the infallible decisions of an infallible church. But when Protestants are to be confuted, the declarations of their most illustrious men are of no authority. Councils are discovered to have been put partly approved. Popes did not speak ex cathedra. Cardinals and bishops are but private doctors. And who cares for the opinion of obscure priests or friars? Thus nothing is so difficult as to know what the belief of the Roman Catholics really is. And when a Protestant adduces their own writers as witnesses, he is frequently told that he is a misrepresenter of their church. This is signed by Charles Eliot, Delineation of Roman Catholicism, London, John Mason, 1851, page 23. Next, I want to go to the Pope's titles. This new pope has only taken on 8 official titles, but pope is not one. The pope's official title A Resume, Writer's Nightmare by Scott Ross. Pope Francis, Pope Francis will be taking on an awesome responsibility of leading a church of more than a billion followers, a job that comes with 8 official titles, none of them Pope. To hear Dr. Terence W. Tilley, chair of the theology department at Fordham University, tell it, calling the Pope Pope is a little like calling your CEO Chief. Pope comes from the Italian Papa, explains Tilley. It's actually a colloquial term rather than a formal term. In America, we often use the phrase, especially the bishops, Holy Father, Sancta Papa, which is where you get Pope. The Pope's proper title, according to the Vatican's website, is Bishop of Rome, Vicar of Jesus Christ, Successor of the Prince of the Apostles, Supreme Pontiff of the Universal Church, Primate of Italy, Archbishop and Metropolitan of the Roman Province, Sovereign of the State of Vatican City, Servant of the Servants of God. Bishop of Rome. Bishop comes from the Greek episkopos, meaning overseer, and Rome, of course, being HQ, the headquarters for the Catholic Church. The term Pope or Papa did not emerge until later. St. Peter is considered by many to be the first Bishop of Rome, but Father Raymond Schroth of Americans Magazine says that there is a fair amount of doubt surrounding that claim. Raymond Brown was the best scripture scholar we had, and he's written several things on this. He said it would be a mistake to say that Peter was the first pope, as if he were the founder of the church. That's an exaggeration. The evidence for Peter's presence in Rome is not airtight. That's a nice way of putting it. They have a tomb under St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, where it's believed that St. Peter is buried. But you know, it took him a long time to find the grave, said Schroth, with a laugh. Okay, this came from internet, from NBCNewYork.com. Here is a list of all the titles that the popes can take from, and it sure shows that the Pope is an Antichrist. The Antichrist is a governmental system. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. I just have a few minutes left here. I won't be able to read it all. Most divine of all heads. These are titles of the Pope, of the popes that they can take from. Holy Father of Fathers, Pontiff Supreme over Prelates, Overseer of Christian Religion, Pastor of Pastors, Christ by unction, Abraham by Patriarchate, Melchizedek in order, Moses in authority, Samuel in judicial office, High Priest, Supreme Bishop, Heir to the Apostles, Peter in power, Key Bearer of the Kingdom of Heaven, Pontiff appointed with plenitude of power, Vicar of Christ, Vicar of the Son of God, Sovereign Priest, Head of all Holy Churches, Chief of the Universal Church, Bishop of Bishops, Ruler of the House of the Lord, and Apostolic Lord and Father of Fathers, Chief Pastor, Physician of Souls, Rock Against which the proud gates of hell prevail not, infallible Pope. And I'm over the line, okay.